Towards the beginning of Parshas Bahar, we learn about various halachos that govern the Torah's approach to real estate, to buying and selling land and property in the land of Israel. In Perek Chav Hei, in Psukim Chav Gimel, through Chav Ches, we learn about the halachos of a person who sells his ancestral lands. That is to say, we know that the Jewish people, after they entered the land of Israel and conquered it from the inhabiting nations, through a goral, divinely inspired, each of the tribes, each of the Shvatim, were given their section of Eretz Yisrael, and each family within each Shevet was given their land. And over generations, from one generation to the next, land would be passed down from family member to family member, from generation to generation. And it's clear, as Rashi quotes here in these Psukim, a person ideally, very much, should not be selling such ancestral family legacy lands. But nevertheless, if a person is really pressed for financial pressure and hardship, one could do so. And the Torah tells us here in these Psukim two very important halachos regarding that. If you sell land, up to 2 years after the sale, the original owner or family members can redeem that land for a prorated sale price based on that original price that had been agreed to, and redeem and buy back the land for the original family owner. And secondly, if you don't do it in those 2 years, then the new owner retains ownership, but not permanently. It's only until the Yovel year, the 50th year, the Jubilee year, at which point it automatically reverts to the original family. And the upshot of this is made clear by the Torah itself in Perek Chav Gimel, and that is, as the Torah itself writes, "Va'aretz lo timaker litzmitut," land should never be sold in perpetuity, "ki li ha'aretz ki gerim v'toshavim atem imadi." The principle that the Torah is delineating is that ultimately the true owner of all land is Hashem, and therefore no one else can truly buy or sell the land in perpetuity, because ultimately it's Hashem who is the only real and true owner. These halachos notwithstanding, fascinatingly, later, a few psukim later, the Torah seems to give an exception to the rule. In Psukim Chav Tes Lamed, we are told that if a person sells a house that is in a walled city, not a field or a house that's in the field, but rather specifically a residential house in a walled city, a city that's been walled going back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, then there are slightly different halachos. Number one, the original owner or relatives have only 1 year, not two like we saw previously, but only 1 year to redeem the land. And secondly, if they don't redeem that land in the first year, then they have no chance whatsoever to redeem the land. And even after Yovel, even after the 50th Jubilee year, the house would remain with the purchaser. So the question is how to understand the basic halacha, and especially how to understand the discrepancy and the distinguishing factor between these two cases. Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Shin Lamed enunciates in a very beautiful way the basic idea, which we've already seen, that the hashkafa of all these mitzvos is to reinforce the notion that we should internalize that land is really never sold or bought in halacha, but rather ultimately really leased, because the idea is that no one really owns anything because the land is owned by Hashem. But that doesn't itself help understand this discrepancy. Why is there a difference between selling fields or houses that are in the field versus selling residential homes that are exclusively in walled cities? So I want to share two ideas from the Rishonim, which actually take opposite perspectives to this question. The first is the Ramban, here in Pasuk Chav Tes, who suggests that these halachos reflect the needs and mindset of the seller. That is to say, to sell a personal home, a residential home in a walled city, from such an ancient city is frankly embarrassing, humiliating, and shows certain financial desperation. There's no other word for it. But because the person must be so embarrassed by it, the Torah allows for redemption for the first year. However, if after that a person still has not redeemed the land, says the Ramban, we can assume that that person has found a new house. Perhaps for some short time after selling your original house, you can kind of be bunking on a friend, a neighbor, a relative. But at some point, you're going to need to find a new home or hopefully get the funds to buy back your original home. The Torah assumes that within a year, either a person will have been so desperate that they were able to figure out a way to get the funds to buy back the original house. And if they still haven't done that after a year, we can assume that the person has found a new house to live in and has moved on literally and figuratively. Now, there is no more busha, and therefore it can remain with the buyer. On the other hand, when it comes to the fields used for farming or homes that are near and attached to those fields, the main focus is parnasa, and earning a livelihood. And the damage of a person having to give up the source of their livelihood, have to sell off, so to speak, the family farm and have no other consistent basis of earning a parnasa, but having been so desperate for the cash from the initial sale, that is so terrible, so tragic, such a crisis that we don't just give the person a year to try to buy it back and restart his parnasa, but we give him 2 years, and even if he can't do it in the 2 years, it's still not permanent, and after Yovel, the land goes back. So that's based on a sensitivity to the difference between the needs of a residential home versus the needs for having a property that is really the source of parnasa. And all of this is based on, as we said, the mindset of the seller. The Chizkuni, however, gives a second answer, which is the opposite in a sense, and that is that the focus is on the mindset of the purchaser. If you purchase a home inside a city, your intention is permanent. In other words, if you buy a residential home, you want to really own that. You don't want to be renting it or leasing it. People don't really appreciate living in someone else's home. So if you buy something, you really want it. So the Torah gives the original owner a year, but after a year, we say it's not fair to the new purchaser, and after a year, it fully becomes yours, and that's that. On the other hand, when it comes to the fields, in the case of agriculture, so there, a person's relationship to the property is more transient and more transactional. As we know, says the Chizkuni, sharecroppers would live on a certain property in those homes while working on the land, but then the job would end, the season would end, and they move on to another property and move into another home. And that's just an example of illustrating the point, says the Chizkuni, that people's relationship with those type of fields, because they are primarily focused on Parnassa, so there isn't that emotional attachment, it's more of a transactional relationship, and therefore such an owner does not really have a personal connection to the land, and therefore it can be redeemed for up to 2 years, and even after that, really just a lease for 50, because that new owner doesn't really invest himself or really care so much about it as long as he makes his money back, as opposed to if he buys a residential house in the walled city where he really personally identifies with that new home.